Welcome to the RepChat Inside Stories series, conversations with creative talent and creative entrepreneurial businesses. We discover the inside stories that inspire and motivate creative people to do what they do. I am delighted to be here in the virtual studio with the most talented Emily Hoyce, who is an opera singer, an actress, and an athlete. And in her, I'm not sure how many years, Emily, is it about 25?
Yes.
25 years, has achieved an enormous amount of content and is an absolutely delightful person. So we're going to listen to her story, her inside story about music and creativity and acting, and also what she does to keep herself whole and sane, which I think is her athleticism. So hello, Emily, how are you?
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor. It's a pleasure to be talking to you today, and I'm great. How are you in London?
I'm really well. Thank you very much. So you're there in Milan. That's not your birth town. So could you tell me where the story began as a singer?
I am actually Austrian. I was born in Vienna and raised there for about 15 years. And when I was 15, I decided that I wanted to move to Italy because I wanted to be an opera singer since I was very young. Since I was seven, actually, because I started to sing in the children's choir of the Vienna State Opera, which is like the most important, one of the most important theaters in Europe for opera. And I started to sing there in the choir for, as a child. And it was one of the most beautiful experiences I have ever had in my life, still until today, because I was able to listen to the most important and the greatest opera singers back then, like from a very close point of view. You know, I was very close to them backstage, and since then, since I was seven and I started to sing there, I knew this is what I wanted to do. And so when I was 15, I decided that I wanted to move to Italy to study Italian and to learn Italian, and I did that. And my parents were always very supportive of what I wanted to do, and I was very independent already back then, and they helped me find a family where I could stay with. And I moved to Firenze, and went to school there, and I learned Italian in about half a year, and since then I have not left the country. Still here. I mean, I have left different cities. I've been living in different cities all around Italy, but I've been here ever since, and it's my favorite country in the world, obviously, because it's, you know, it's the country that where opera was born.
What does opera mean to you?
Opera means emotions to me. When someone asks you that, I always think of the first thing that comes in mind is like how I'm able to express all of my emotions that are inside of me, because I have a lot of them. Sometimes it's a little bit too much for people who are not in my world, and like, she's a lot. But for me, it's about expressing those emotions and being able to feel them 100%. In like with singing, but also with acting, both of the things at the same time on stage, feeling the presence of the audience. It's just, giving all my emotions to the people and to the music, and let it go.
Well, I think that's a really good cue for our first piece of music. So here is Emily singing. Wow, that was incredibly beautiful, Emily. Wow.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So there you are, in Italy, learning singing. Tell us a little bit about your journey. So I know that you've been singing all over the world. So your progression and your success in the operatic world, how has that been over the last few years?
I started to be a real soloist when I was 18. You know, I mean, the opera voice is a very special voice. You have to wait until your voice is mature enough to be able to overcome an orchestra and a choir in to sing in a big theater. You know, you have to have a mature voice, and so you cannot sing when you're very young in big roles. So I started with small roles and when I was 18 in smaller theaters around Europe, and an agent discovered me during a show, and this is how it started, all of it. And it started to become really an amazing journey, and I had a lot of success. And then unfortunately the pandemic happened right at the point where I had my first real big contract, like 2 years ago. I had my first big contract. I was supposed to tour in Asia with the Magic Flute of Mozart, singing the main role. And
wow,
absolutely, I was so excited to do that, and everything got canceled, also my other contracts. And that was a really difficult point, because when you're about to start your career, you know, you're about to get to the next step, and you're so excited, and you have prepared yourself for that for so long, for many, many years. You know, you need to work and work and work on your voice and to never stop. And then you finally get to that point, and unfortunately the pandemic happened. That was very difficult. That was very difficult. And this is where I decided to go into acting, actually.
So it was in 2020, you debuted yes. your acting career.
Yes, I did study acting and opera singing at the same time, contemporarily, at the university. But as the agent, the opera agent, discovered me, let's say like this, I immediately got into the opera world. So I didn't really have the chance to do both, because sometimes you need to choose. And it was, mm-hmm. I had to go through that path to just give it all in the opera world. And I never pursued my acting career because there was no time. I was singing all the time in a theater, and it was beautiful. And then pandemic happened. Everything was canceled. We were all sitting at home, all theaters closed. And many of my colleagues, they were actually happy. It's like, oh, finally, I have some time off. I don't have to sing. I have the problem that I can't sit still. This is something I can't do. It makes me very anxious, very unhappy. I get very depressed, actually, if I have nothing to do. And that was when I thought, okay, I can pursue my acting career right now. If not now, when can I do it? Never. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to throw myself into this. And I started to call friends or colleagues that are actors and already working as actors in movies, and like, okay, what do I have to do? What are the steps that I need to do? And they told me, and I was very lucky that agents called me and people were responding to my material that I did. And I started to shoot movies during the pandemic, where all my singer colleagues were sitting at home and not being able to perform in a theater, because the movie business did not stop, because there's no audience. You know, you don't have the audience. The problem with the theater during the pandemic was the audience, because there were too many people in one place. But on set, we were only a few people. We were all tested, so we could still work. This is how I got into acting, how I found my path to acting, actually through the pandemic. And I'm grateful for that. And for me, it was something that opened up a whole new world to me that I love now a lot.
That's amazing, because what you did was showed enormous flexibility. Although you studied for it, you said, well, I can do this instead. And also that knowing yourself, you know, that you need to be in movement and in flow to keep yourself balanced and well. I think yes. It's time for a second piece of music. So just going to listen to Emily singing. that's really, really lovely. And that brings us to the third thing you mentioned about yourself, is that you are an athlete. Is that something which complements your artistry, or something which is different?
Yeah, it does absolutely complement my artistic side. I started when I was very young, actually. I started when I was 14 to find the world of triathlon and also dancing, but it was more focused on triathlon. And it was something that I always loved to do. I went to competitions. I did a lot of stuff like that. It is something that keeps me sane. Obviously, my artistic jobs took completely over my athletic thing, but I go running every day because it keeps me sane and it helps me stay grounded. It helps me clear my head in all those hours that I spend in the theater, where I'm close to the theater. There's only, you know, lights on you and there's not really a lot of air. And also on set, it's the same thing. And going for a run in the nature, I don't run in a gym or something, it helps me to finally breathe. I feel like it's my happy moment of the day. Like, I can't wait to go for a run because I feel like, okay, now I can clear my head and all my problems vanish for these 2 hours that I'm running. And also for your body, you need to stay fit. Whatever you do as a singer, as an actress, it's super, super important that your body is fit and strong. And it helps me to stay also focused, actually, in what I do. Yeah.
Those are two things that I noticed, this dedication that you have to whatever you do. So it's the dedication, whether it's as a singer, as an opera singer, or as an actress, but also the dedication to being the best that you can be, and that focus. So there's something about developing a mindset or an approach. Do you think that is something that you developed over the years, or is it something you've always had, this dedication and focus?
I would say it's both, actually. I mean, you need to have it already from a young age, because you have to go through a lot of difficult times as well. It's not always like everything is going great. It doesn't work like this. There are a lot of no's, people telling you a lot of times you're not good enough, you know, whatever it is, acting or singing. You have to go through a lot of hard times to get to where you want to go, where you want to be. So you have to already have this dedication when you're very young. But while becoming older and while working, I mean, it just gets harder, actually. It doesn't get easier. And you develop an even deeper sense of dedication, I think. So it's kind of both.
It's something that you work at.
Yes. The many no's that I got as well, you know, even though I have achieved quite a lot, I've been a lot of no's and a lot of moments where I didn't feel good enough or whatever. And actually, those were the ones that helped me understand there's no time to give up now, or I can't just stop now because someone told me, okay, you're not enough for me, but this is his or her opinion. And it helped me develop this strength and this focus, actually, and this dedication that you were talking about. So it's a little bit of both, I would say. Yeah.
So it really does seem to be part of you, you know, whether it's singing for joy or whether you're acting or whatever you're doing, there's this sense of focus, dedication, and belief in what you're doing and the way that you share that with other people.
Absolutely. I think the most important thing, and many, many people who are successful, when you listen to podcasts or interviews, this is what everybody says. The most important thing is that you believe in yourself 100%, not 99.9%, 100%. You need to be your biggest supporter and your biggest believer. Otherwise, in this world of thousands of actresses, beautiful talent actresses, or thousands of great, wonderful singers, how are you going to stand out? How are you going to make it? How are you going to get through it? It's just, you need to be 100% sure that you are good enough, that you are great, and that you can do it. So this is something that you just said is really important for artists. You need to believe in yourself all the time, actually.
And I think it's not about arrogance. It's not about thinking that you're the best, but it's this belief that you have your own back, and that you are prepared to carry on the journey. But it's almost like that's part of the, I don't know, initiation or whatever it is.
Yes, yes, yes. Many people confuse that, actually. You're right, arrogance with believing yourself. It has nothing, one has nothing to do with the other one. It's just, it has to be part of your personality. Otherwise, people, you're just one of a million. And you're right, especially in acting, but also in singing. I mean, normally you do like 100 auditions and 4 of them work out.
Wow.
If you're, you know, it's really, really hard at the beginning. I'm saying at the beginning, once you have your name and people know you and you have sang in important theaters or you have done already movies that were streamed or aired on important channels, then okay, so it gets less and less and less because people already know you. But at the beginning, especially, oh, it's tough. So it's not arrogance. It's just that you know that you are the best for any audition you do. You need to know I'm the best for this role. I'm the best choice for this role, even though they might not choose you at the end. But you need to go on stage or go in the audition with the casting directors for a movie. You need to go in there and believe that you are the right person for that role.
So talking about challenges, and you talked about this mindset which needs to be prepared for rejection. What has been the most challenging thing? I was about to say in your operatic career, but maybe in also in the acting, what have you found the most challenging to date?
The most challenging has been being compared all the time to all the other girls around you. And not only you comparing yourself, which is already a bad thing, you should not do that, but sometimes you can't help it, you compare yourself, but also the other one, like the casting directors from theaters. They're like, oh, but she, but her. But I think this is the most challenging thing, that you need to, that you also listening to other singers, you know, while you're in an audition, before you sing, you're all waiting there. And you need to, you listen to this other singer singing the exact same aria that you are going to sing in like 5 minutes, maybe better. And you're like, oh my God, wow, she's even, but oh my God, how I will never be able to sing it like she does. I think these moments, being compared or comparing yourself to others is the most challenging thing in this world of art. As an actress or as a singer, it's the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because the comparison, it's also that other people are different and they're really good in their own way, but they're not you.
Exactly. You need to know they're good in their own way. What they do with this is amazing. But they're not you. You are unique, and what you are bringing to the role is different than what they are bringing to the role. So it just depends if the person who is going to choose you likes you better or the other one. Sometimes it's also not about if she or he or she was better. It's a lot about, I only remember the Italian word.
How do you say it in Italian?
Gusto. No? It's
taste.
Taste. Yeah. There you go. It's taste. People have different tastes, and you need to know that.
Well, there's so many factors, aren't there? There could be taste, yes. There could be the face of the moment, there could be the voice of the moment. I was watching Strictly Come Dancing on Sunday, you don't know, and it's just, I love to see people dancing. And I saw the final and I thought, how can they choose? These both are absolutely amazing in different ways. To choose one set of people, they all deserved a prize. What is it that inspires you?
People who are living 100% their authentic selves and who don't apologize for who they are and don't care what people think of them. These people inspire me a lot, a lot. I think these are, you need to have an incredible strength and incredible self-confidence to just be living your thing, being who you are 100%. I think these people inspire me.
That's interesting, given that, you know, that, you know, the world of comparisons, especially, we were talking earlier, weren't we, about the role of social media, and I know in a way you can't avoid it. Do you think that it has an impact on the way that we are perceived?
100%. Instagram is the worst. I mean, it helps you a lot in getting jobs and being discovered in many, many things. It can be wonderful, but sometimes you go through Instagram and you see all your colleagues and your friends, whoever, working, and when you're like, oh my God, and she does this and she does this. Also, people talking to me sometimes be like, oh my God, you do so many things, incredible. Oh my God, how can you do it? And sometimes I don't feel that way. It just seems on Instagram something, the things seem bigger than they are sometimes. And for everyone. And it is really a difficult thing to not compare yourself to everyone on Instagram. Well, she's more beautiful and she does this, and why don't I do this? You need to have a very healthy distance from that.
Yeah, and a groundedness about it, because it is actually quite addictive as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And I think it's very image-based, and how many followers have you got and all that kind of thing.
Yes, it can be very addictive, and it actually is a very dangerous thing as well. Sometimes you need to take a break. I use it for my singing and my acting, and I need to show what I do, because people that always go on your Instagram page. It's like a website, actually. I do have a website, but I think people go more on my Instagram page than my actual website. You need to treat it a little bit like a website. That's why I use it. And it has helped me a lot. I have got a lot of beautiful jobs, either in singing and in acting through Instagram. So I'm very grateful for that. But I'm trying not to go on Instagram to see too much what other people are doing, because it can be very distracting and it can make you lose your focus.
So it's drawing you away from the things that are important, and it's exactly. Actually, how do you keep your balance? So what are you working on at the moment, Emily, in terms of projects?
Tomorrow, I'm actually singing a concert in Bologna in the theater. And right now, at the same time, I'm shooting a mini series in Italy for Rai Uno. Mm-hmm. It's an Italian channel. And I'm trying to finish my thesis right now. I'm writing my master thesis in classical archaeology. It's quite a lot at the moment. These days have been very intense. Singing tomorrow and shooting during the day, and then in the night I'm writing my thesis.
Wow. I was about to ask you, what is your typical day like? I think you've already explained that. So we're coming to the close of 2001. And we have a new year, and in a few days we're in 2022. So if you had a message for our listeners in terms of art, creativity, beauty, all the things that I know, focus, dedication, what would the message be?
What I tell people the most is stay focused, really. I mean, in this world of chaos and the pandemic and all the things that are happening, and when you go in the news, everything seems like it's the end of the world. You need to stay focused. Don't ever lose focus, and don't forget that your moment will come, whenever that will be. It might be tomorrow, it might be in 20 years, but if you truly believe that you are born to be an artist, and whatever you want to do, singing, acting, writing, painting, whatever, if you truly believe that you are an artist and you can do it, it will happen for you. So stay focused and don't ever give up, but because it can happen tomorrow, and you gave up today and you lost your chance. So this would be my advice, because this is what I tell myself all the time: stay focused and don't give up.
Thank you for that. That's a really powerful, and it's like a beacon of light going through 2022, as we are facing an awful lot of uncertainty in so many ways. So I love that message. And yeah, we're just going to play the final piece of music that you've chosen for us.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around the clouds to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly, I've simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade? How much more? At least I didn't fake it, hat, sir. I guess I didn't make it, but whether on the rose of sheer perfection or freckle on the nose of life's complexion, the senior or the shiny apple of his eye.
Absolutely gorgeous. So Emily, how do people get in touch with you, want to talk to you, want to find out more about your world? How do they do that?
Actually, people write me a lot on Instagram, or they comment on my videos on YouTube or something, or actually email. I think I have my email address on Instagram, and I have got a lot of beautiful messages via email in the last months from people all over the world.
We're going to put all of that in the show notes, so people, you want to get in touch, very open, got some very important messages, especially about dedication, focus, and the beautiful world of music, creativity, art, all the things that you have dedicated your life to. So thank you very much for talking with me today. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And I hope to see you next time, or they see you in person at some point.
Either in London or Milan. Thanks for listening to the Reb Chat Inside Stories series. We hope you enjoyed it. To feature your inside story, contact us at www.rebcatcreations.com or follow us on Instagram at rebcatcreations.